Blog Talk Radio.
That the Lord has made, and we will rejoice
and we will be glad in it. We are excited about what God is about to do today on this broadcast. We thank God for the information and for direction that God has given for this broadcast. We're going to be today discussing anxiety, and there are many people in our world today that are going through anxiety, don't know what to do, don't know how to handle it. Things are causing them sometimes to lose their jobs, can't get along with different people for whatever reason, and they need some help from above. But you know, one of the things that I thank God that all of our help comes from the Lord who has made the heaven and the earth. And we want you to know today that you can take comfort in God Almighty, knowing that He would never leave you nor forsake you, no matter what you may be going through in life. So at this time, we would like to go before the throne of grace. Come on, why don't you go with us today? Yes, you are listening to the Crossroad broadcast, and we are getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And you, yes, you have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, and let them know that the Crossroad broadcast is on the air. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise thee. We magnify your name. God, we lift your name up high. We give you all of the praise and glory, God, that's due unto you. God, you are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end, first and the last, the truth, and the living God. We proclaim today, dear God, that you have not some power, but God, that you have all power in your hand. And Father, today, even as we minister as Christian counselor, God, to people, God, upon the globe, God, in the north, the south, and the east and west, we pray, God, that healing, God, would be manifest. We pray deliverance, God, would come forth in their minds and their soul and their spirit. And even as we talk about anxiety today, we pray complete deliverance, God, to those, Lord God, that need deliverance in this area. And not only that, God, for those that are not saved, we pray that they will be saved and that they give their lives unto you. And for this, God, we will glorify and we will praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, and God, we thank thee. Yes, you are listening to the Crossroad broadcast. You may not know where to go, what direction to go. And God has given us this broadcast to show you the direction, to show you what you can do in order to be free, free mind, body, soul, and spirit. So we would like to take this opportunity to welcome our panelists for today. We thank God for Dr. June Normill, and for we thank him as well for Pastor Williams, Dr. Williams. And we want you to know today that you can be blessed. You can get and receive what you need from God on high. Why don't you get that paper, get that pencil, maybe even a recorder, that you can take notes and that you can go back just in case that you don't remember everything that we talked about on today, that you'll be able to go back and that you'll be able to find yourself in the discussion, find a friend in a discussion for today. So we're going to start out today, and what we have, we're going to be talking about, as we said, anxiety and the causes of anxiety, and we're going to go and we're going to let you also know the effects of anxiety. So we're going to go to Dr. June Normill, and she's going to take our first 15 minutes, and she's going to talk to you about the effects of anxiety. Don't forget now, get your paper, get your pen, as we began our discussion today about talking about the effects of anxiety. We would like to welcome Dr. Jim Normill to the Crossroads broadcast. Doctor.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Giving honor to God today for allowing me to come before you, Radio Land, the radio panel, and to everyone here to sound my voice, I give you greetings today. I'm going to be talking about the effects of anxiety, but I'm going to turn it around and also tell you one thing that can cause the effects of anxiety is the effects of child-rearing problems. Like I said, one of the conditions that will cause anxiety is the effects of child-rearing problems. And child-rearing problem is the process of promoting and supporting the physical, emotional, social, and intellectual development of a child from infancy to adulthood. Again, child-rearing is the process of promoting and supporting the physical, emotional, social, and intellectual development of a child from infancy to adulthood. And if you are being a parent today, and if you know someone about being a parent, and if you can see what's going on in today's society, you know that raising a child can be a hard and emotional experience. Decisions you make as a parent, it would affect your child as she or he grow up. That's why it's important to use positive parenting methods to raise a child that is happy, healthy, and self-confident. Just as positive parenting helps you raise happy children, negative parenting can have adverse effects on your children as they grow up and also cause them to be in a state of anxiety. The Bible also talks about anxiety and child-rearing problems. The Bible has also the authoritative voice concerning the effects of child-rearing, such as child discipline also as rearing a child. One example is in 1 Samuel 3 and 4. It talks about Samuel. He was a prophet, but at that time he was a boy, and he received a message from God concerning Eli, and he was the priest. And Eli had sons, and they made themselves just to do anything they wanted to do. They didn't acknowledge God. They didn't respect God. They didn't reverence God and nothing that they did. And Eli, he didn't even, being their father, he didn't even find the way or took the time to restrain his children from doing that and for their rebellious actions. So soon after Eli, his sons, died, Samuel grew up to a position of leadership. And anyway, his own sons, they turned away from God for not doing what they was taught to do. But the Bible didn't say anything that Samuel didn't show them parental rights and parental ways of rearing a child or training a child the way they should go. But in the long run, it did turn them away from God, their ways. And it all comes down to saying that when a parent, a person that's in a leadership position, when we don't train our children in the way they go, it could cause anxiety and cause a lot of havoc in the house, and it would affect everyone in the whole household, just like it did with Eli. Because of him not training his children the way they should go, they end up dying also him because of their actions, because of Eli being the adult parent, not taking a stand and guiding them in the ways that God will have them to go. And that goes along with us today. God have a way that is mighty sweet in us being parents, that we're to guide our children in the way that they should go. And a lot of times people think that, and even in society, a lot of people think that when you're talking about discipline a child, that you can't use the rod or either just do physical treatment or some kind of way on a child that has become dangerous or become inhumane. But the Bible also talks about that, how you can train up a child to go in the way they should, and then when they're older, when depart. And I also talked about in Proverbs 23:13-14, it says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. And it's not physically talking about just get a rod and beating the child to abuse. It's not talking about that. It's talking about even your rod of wisdom, your rod of love, your rod of direction, positive influence on the child, because it can deliver them from hell. And also Proverbs 13:24 talks about, he that spares the rod hates his son, but he that loveth him chases him promptly. And the same thing with us. By God being our Father, we're children of God. The Bible says God chasing them that he loves. He corrects us when we do things that is not right. And also Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction to drive it far from him. So it's all right to use physical discipline on the child to correct them. And then, so, but you have to be very mindful. I know in today's time, they have now that if you put in the physical mark or touch your children with your hand physically and stuff, and they leave a mark on it, you're subject to go to jail because that's the law of the land now, and that is legal. So we just have to be very mindful of that. But I'm saying this, the Bible talks about that. You can have other constructive ways to discipline your children to make them do what is right. And that would also cause down the anxiety of people and children, with also the parent, dealing with the consequence for their behavior. And some of the effects of child rearing problems is because of neglect, sometimes not spending quality time with your children. And that could cause a child to be on the edge of just having anxiety emotionally, but not having anxiety in where they are in school, for where they might be if they become even a young adult. So you start off by even by raising your children to avoid anxiety, by spending quality time with your children. And it says spending time with your child is important of being a parent. When you spend time with your child, you know, it sends a message to your child that he or either she is important to you and that you care about them. It also encourages your child to talk about what's important. And when you spend time, you know, deport issues to them and help them convey your family values and stuff. But a lot of times when you don't spend time with your children, you don't know what's going on with them in their mind inside the world that they're living in, and they don't know what's going on with you. And that's a kind of can be very frustrating from a child. They feel like they're all alone. So when a child who don't spend quality time with their parents, they will sometimes seek attention from other people who might not be a good influence. And that's what happened. And then the results of that could cause anxiety and cause the parents to be stressed out, for the child could become wavery and could become involved with people that's not a good influence, could be doing drugs, alcohol, disrespectful to people in authority. That's when you don't spend quite a time with children and embedded them and then put them in there when they're young, and they just put it like a root, kind of seed into them, where they'll be able to grow in the nurturing the things of God. And also discipline. A lot of times we talk about discipline, we always thinking about abuse, see it that way, but it's not a form of just being abused. Discipline is very helpful. It's very needful, even for the parent's sake and also for the children's sake, because discipline is one of the most important parts of being a parent. And by you being disciplined, it could cause the anxiety rate to stay very low by you disciplining a child. The discipline method you use can have a long-term effect on your child, but according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, they say you should not spank your children. But like I just said before, the Bible talks about sparing the rod and spoiling the child, but I'm not talking about to the force of abuse. I know it worked very good for us, and I know it worked good for people today who do it in a healthy way. And I know also now even God corrects us as being adults, and then he chastises us and spanks us with his rod of correction, because even love, but a lot of things we allow to happen, he allows to happen to us to get us back on right track as a form of discipline. Some things that we bring on ourselves by not adhering to discipline or not being taught discipline to come back to us, and that can also just bring anxiety on the whole family. But even in society, they recommend that discipline strategies such as time out and parental monitoring. They say, like, a child do something bad, you know, they'll say, well, okay, you, Jimmy, go in the corner for time out. You in there for 10 seconds or 10 minutes, whatever it is. And then they'll do that, and Jimmy could just be cutting up. They get all the way to 9, and Jimmy's still cutting up. Then what they'll do, start back again to 1 again. They do that 4 or 5 times until Jimmy or Timmy get tired of doing whatever they do. Then that brings on anxiety with both the parents and the the child, because that way the parent try to find another way to discipline the child. But as I gave you the scripture before, how the Bible said we could handle that with the rod of correction. But any way that you find fit that is disciplining your child that could cause the anxiety rate to be diminished or either to be a non-effect, that's good. Whatever works for you, then God can be glorified in that area. If you want to use timeout methods and that causes the anxiety to calm down and even not to be manifested, use your timeout method. But if you find yourself and you want to choose the way that you've been raised and you know something worked for a fact because it kept down the anxiety, it kept down foolishness too. When you get beat with a rod, the Bible used to say to beat with a rod. We could say a spanking or a switch or a strap, whatever. And sometimes you don't even have to go that way. Your rod of correction would be when your parent, if you have like a firm parent like I had or some of us have, they didn't even have to have no switch or no timeout. They just look at you. And you can see it by their eyes, or you can just hear their voice by just calling your name, and you automatically just line up. And that'll cause all the anxiety and all the worry and all the stress to go down right then. And another method is also the effects of long-term child rearing, the effects of it, and to keep down anxiety is self-esteem. And children with a healthy self-esteem, they are more likely to be happy and better able to meet the challenge that they have as they grow up. But a lot of times, these children, when they have low self-esteem, it really just crushes their spirit. They don't see themselves how God sees them. They be frustrated. It causes anxiety. They can't function the way that they normally need to function. And that way, it can hinder their education. It can hinder their skills, motor skills. They not be able to think right. They not able to produce right. Their mobility could be off track because of the anxiety they feel by having this low self-esteem. You know, you have to just praise your child, you know, for their efforts, even if they don't even do well. But you just praise them for them just making the effort. But whatever they done, you just tell them how good they done. They done very good. You just giving them praise for just even trying. And that just send a message that you support them, and you support them, her, him or her, no matter what they do. And that way it could cause the anxiety level to go down. And they will be able to, you know, be happy to, and they'll be able to grow up strong and have it faith and confidence in you as being a parent, because you have shown them that whatever they do, even in their failures, even in their shortcomings, you're there to support them. And that'll cause them to just trust you more and to trust God. And that's why even when they come to us and to adults as parents or the guardians, whoever is over them as being parents, we always lead them to God. And just saying to God be the glory, God bless you to be able to do this. God is with us. God is going to take us through this. And then so it caused the anxiety level to stay down. It caused the anxiety level to diminish. And so, but when you are children who are criticized and not supported and they don't have no respect, they're most likely to have unhealthy self-esteem, and they'll suffer long-term effects of feeling bad about themselves, and they'll see themselves as being failures and see themselves as being a negative person. And feel like they can't do it. They don't see themselves like God sees them to do. And that way, that can also lead to the anxiety that causes them not to even just be able to produce and be able to walk and talk and be the women and men that God called them to be because of their self-esteem. And then the anxiety just causes them to feel bad about themselves. They be anxious for everything but not accomplishing nothing. But we have to always just know that God is with us and that even in our state of being anxiety, things we may be rushing about, things we might be over-anxious about, the Bible said be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, always make your prayers known unto God. God knows everything that we're going to. And just like we are parents and we have the effects of child rearing problems, and it's rapid in the days now, but everybody, and we all be challenged with things because even in our right, as being what we want to display and have our children grow up in a nurture the way God leads us to. When we did it with even in this world of itself or the world itself and society, they try to tell us, and it does tell us how to raise our children, how to produce our children, what to do for our children. It don't line up with the word of God, and it just causes anxiety. But we are not God in all our ways. He will direct our path. So, God, we just thank you for just allowing us to see us being your children, being Christian counselors, being mothers, father, parents. We thank you, and we receive your discipline with us. You know, if we cast all our cares upon you, everything will work out all right. We won't have to deal with all the anxiety. God bless you, and back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We thank God for Dr. Normiel as she talked to us about the effects of anxiety. And there are so many things that are happening today that we should be aware of, that we can be able to direct our children and our family members and ourselves in the right direction, that we can do it according, not our will, but according to the will of the Father. Yes, we are Christian counselors. The way that we counsel is according to the Word of God. And as Dr. Normiel shared with us today about the effects of anxiety, affects what it has on our children, whether they're in preschool or kindergarten, whether they're in elementary school, or whether they're in a home, that is very important that we know how to counsel and know how to bring up our children in the fear of God. No, we are not advocating abuse. We are advocating you living and you doing things according to the Word of God. We don't want to spare the Lord because we can't spoil the child. But when we can bring our children up and our grandchildren up in the fear of God, that will make them good citizens, good neighbors, great educators, great people of God. So when we begin to look at anxiety, some of the things that are associated with anxiety is stress, fear, phobia, and tension. All of those together has to do when a person is going through anxiety. Anxiety actually has been called the official emotional part of our age. It's the basis of all neurosis. And it is also the pervasive psychological phenomenon of our time. It is also said as human existence, the complexity and pace of our modern life has alerted us to its presence and probably increased in its influence. Anxiety is an inner feeling, a feeling of apprehension, a feeling of uneasiness. It's the feeling of concern. It's when a person is worried, and they overly worried about a situation or a thing in their life. They have a dread. They dread certain things are coming forth. It's taking that emotional part of their mind, and they have almost lost control of it because of the anxiety that they are experiencing. And when you have the apprehension and the uneasiness and a concern, when you worry it, feel that dread, it can accompany it by the heightening of physical arousal. You know how it is sometimes when you go to that next physical area, that next level wherein that you feel really strong about something, or you get hyped up and feeling that it's about to move with you because of the fight that your anxiety have gone up and past that level. It's not actually normal. In the state wherein that you would usually normally operate in. Listen, in the time of of anxiety, the body appears to be on alert. It's ready to flee or fly. These are some of the things that a person, when they are experiencing anxiety, their heart began to beat faster. The blood pressure and their muscle tension increase. And even neurological and chemical changes occur within some time because of the perspiration of tears. You can tell when a person is having anxiety, when they're going through some changes in their lives. And the person may get to a point that they feel fainty or chumpy, or they're not able to relax. Are you that person? Are you that person that are experiencing anxiety? Or can it be that person, that classmate or that college student that you have been watching, or you see that even with the exams that they're taken and they are experiencing some of the same of these symptoms that we are talking about on today? Anxiety can arise from and respond to some specific identifiable danger that may write or cause fear, or rather than anxiety, or it can come in reaction to an imaginary unknown threat. You don't know what the threat is. You can imagine it in your mind. It's just like a person watching a movie. You know, some people like all of the types of these gory movies, and their anxiety arise. They don't know what's going to happen. They can maybe be in a home, a house by themselves, and they begin to imagine things that are happening in their home. It may not be very well 9 times out of 10 that there may not be anything but then the fear, but yet because of those the anxiety and those things that they're feeling real not, they're still fainting and jumpy and they're not able to relax. And sometimes this things like that, it happens and people not readily to be relieved, they need some help because of the fact that it is not good for their health. It let us know, too, that anxiety can arise in response to some specific identifiable danger, as we said before. And it let us know as well, as we said before, yes, it can be imaginary. It can be an unknown threat. It can be just like the meteorologist says that it's going to storm. It's going to be an earthquake. It's going to be a hailstorm. And you begin to think about all of these things that you think may come, and these things that may happen, and your anxiety and your body began to change. When we think about the lower kinds of anxiety, it's been a term called free floating. When the anxiety person senses that something terrible is going to happen, but he or she doesn't know what it is or why. And that's part of what we are saying on today. And there are various types of anxiety that's been identified, which include a normal and righteous, model an intense state and trait. The normal anxiety comes to all of us at one time, usually when there is some real threat, a situation, or danger. Most often, this anxiety is proportional to the danger of the greater threat of the greater anxiety, the greater anxiety that it is, the greater threat that it can be. It is anxiety that we can recognize. It is anxiety that, yes, we can recognize and manage and reduce, especially when circumstances change. Let's look at neurotic anxiety. So, neurotic anxiety, it involves an intense exaggeration feeling of helplessness and dread, even when the danger is mild or non-existent. So it's intense exaggeration. It's a feeling of helplessness. Have you ever been there? Have you ever experienced you in a helpless situation? Maybe you were one that rode a ride, the transit, and you missed the bus, and you were waiting for the bus to come, but however, it was the last bus. It's dark, it's dreary, and it's not a good area that you're in. So then that's when the anxiety can come in, when you can begin to imagine different things and even exaggerate as to what is or what could happen. Many counselors, they believe that anxiety cannot be faced squarely and deal with rationally because it may arise from inner conflict that are not conscious. Anxiety can vary in its intensity and it's fluid. I hope you're taking good notes here today because, you know, sometimes we're like, well, I'm going to remember what Dr. McCoy said. I am going to remember what Dr. Norman said. But then you, after the broadcast, and you try to recapture some of the things that were said, during the broadcast. So I'm going to advocate to you that maybe you, on Mondays, when we do this broadcast, that you take a paper and some pencil pen and you be able to record some of the things that you would like to remember. Listen, moderate anxiety can be desirable and healthy. And often it motivates and it helps people avoid danger situations and lead them to increase efficiency. Intense anxiety, in contrast, is more forgetfulness and it hinders performance, it hinders the skills. It interfered with problem solving, and it brought effective communication. You know, I bet you're thinking about what I'm thinking about. Sometimes, you know, all of us been there. You'll be so afraid and fear, not sure. You know, everything in your head and your mind, you know, it seems like it's a block there. Well, it could be cause of the anxiety that you are experiencing. You thought that you had it all together. You thought that this is something that I can do and that I'm going to do, And that's a good way to think. But sometimes when that anxiety comes up, sometimes you're thinking, why am I having this block of memory? Why can't I remember what I'm about to say? But then one of the things I like to impute in this, the Bible says, in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. So whatever we do in word or deed, we must do it in the name of Jesus. We have, if we have a presentation, or we're going to be speaking, or we're going to be doing anything, or whether it's preparing for a report, or whether it may be, we must put the Lord Jesus before us. And we must let not fear grip us. Because David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So nothing that I desire, nothing that I need will be held from me. Because I'm going to ask and I'm going to believe God that He would do all of these things that I need in my life. Okay. Now, when we began to think about when arousal panic, when panic began to be aroused, excuse me, and something caused unpleasant physical symptoms such as paralysis, a rapid heartbeat, or intense headache. You know, people been there. I mean, sometimes you can't even move. People couldn't even move. They can open their mouth. They're getting ready to speak, but fear enters the heart. And they're at awe. You know, nothing is coming out. You know, sometimes a person gets paralyzed and they begin to get even intense headaches. One of the psychological research has suggested that anxiety can be a state or a trait. A state of anxiety often comes quickly, and it may or may not be of high intensity and has a short duration. This is an acute, relative, brief apprehension or reaction that comes to all of us at one time or another. Usually it comes as a response to some threat, and at times it is experienced as an excitement. Let's look at trait anxiety. Trait anxiety, in contrast, is a persistent, ever-present, ingrained emotional tension. It is seen in people who appear to worry all the time. Have you ever been around people that every time you're around them, they're worried about one thing or the other? And if you don't have a strong faith in God, if you're not really strong in the word, that you can become this, take on the mentality and the mindset of that person that is always worried. Let's pray that God would give them that perfect peace. Where did God say He would keep them, they keep their mind upon Him, that He would keep them in perfect peace, whose mind that is stayed upon Him? Often it's called physical illness, because the body cannot function effectively when it remains in a perpendicular or potential state of tension and arousal. There are two other types of anxiety that have attracted the media and the professional attention during the past several years. And the first one is the post-traumatic stress disorder. And the anxiety disease. intense stress, like dangerous military conflict, and that's usually where the post-traumatic stress disorder, the PTS, come from, which is an intense stress, like danger. You got a lot of soldiers that are coming from afar off, from the different battles that they have been in. Some have lost limbs, legs, eyes. Some of them have lost part of their face and different parts of their body. Some of them have not even been injured physically, but yet, for the things that they see mentally, things that they see their friends go through, they can't sleep at night. They have a difficult time because of the fact of this post-traumatic stress disorder. When we look at intense stress, like dangerous military conflict, when we look at, I'm going to just share with you some of the things that can cause intense stress in a person. It's like dangerous military conflict, like rape. We've heard recent days and months over even people that are in our armed forces, whether they're Marines, whether they are in the Air Force or whatever branch that they serve, and they may have been raped by a fellow, a soldier. They may have been raped by the enemy, or they experienced terror, violence. Maybe they was involved in a serious accident while they were there, or maybe they were involved in a serious accident here at home. You heard of people that have been kidnapped. These are some of the things that the post-traumatic stress disorder entails. You know, it's not over sometime because the act is over. These people are dealing with things that when you go home and you go to sleep, these people are here having a serious issue with what is happening in their lives. Sometimes it could be a kidnapping, could be a natural disaster, could be a tornado or earthquake, as we talked about before. These things can leave a lifelong legacy of anxiety for years after the traumatic, for years after traumatic storms or when the men and our men and women was overseas when they were fighting in the wars. They had nightmares and they had irrational fears. They suffered depression. They worried and lost of interest in activities that once was pleasant to them. You know, many of them wonder, you know, if they lost limbs or they were the man or the woman that they were when they left. You know, they worry about how they're going to be accepted or what their family's going to think about them, how they're going to take care of them. Because some of the wounded warriors, they have gone through situations in their lives that it caused them to be depressed, caused them to be angry, caused them to worry, caused them to lose interest in the activities like that they once enjoyed. So it's so much that we can say, and I just believe that we talk about anxiety. It will let you know where we are and where people is today. But for these people that have anxiety, they have become a way of life that followed in the wake of an early stress experience. Post-traumatic stress disorders have been seen frequently in Vietnam and the Vietnam veterans, but they are persisting anxiety that can occur in any of us traumatic experience. We need God to heal our brothers and sisters. No, they may not be a blood brother. They may not be a blood sister. But we need to pray one for another. Because sometimes we think about, if it's not happening to me, it's not happening. But yes, we can be a keeper. And we can be concerned about one. So here today, we see that it's very important that we help those going through these post-traumatic stress disorder, that they get the help that they need. And if you are financially able, and if you can help those that have gone through and are still going through some of these experiences, then I just believe that we should help them. Anxiety disease is a term used to describe sudden, terrifying, intensively severe panic attack that comes to apparently normal people, often without warning, and frequently when they least expect it. It's an estimate of 5% of the population. Most women experience these panic attacks. For many years, the anxiety was assumed to be a psychological disorder. But as we will see, and increasingly evidence now indicates that the root is a biological, it is biological. So we want to put a pin in where we are right now. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about anxiety because I feel that it's very important. And I just believe every topic that God gives us, it is very important because there are millions, there are people out there that are dealing with this situation. And we don't want you to have a mindset, again, if it's not happening to me, it's not happening. But it is happening. So we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And we're going to ask Dr. June Normill to give us to pray and pray for our radio audience. And then we're going to come back to you. At this time, we're going to ask Dr. June Normill to come and pray. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Lord, we thank you, God, for all that you have done, all God is going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Lord God, we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the type of anxiety. Lord, we pray, God, that lives have been changed. We pray, God, that deliverance has been manifested. We thank you, God, for all of the habits that you have given us, the effects of anxiety. And, Lord, we pray, God, that even as we talk about anxiety, we pray that a change would be manifested. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, even as we pray today, we'd like to take time, Lord God, for those that are not saved, those that don't know you as Lord and Savior, those that don't know you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I pray even now, God, that you will forgive them for their sins. God just said, we confess with our mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, said that we shall be saved. So, Lord, we ask thee, God, to save, deliver, and make free those that are sick, those have infirmities, those going through anxiety, any traumatic disorder. Lord, I pray now that healing will be manifested. We thank you, God, for our panelists, Father God, today, and our regular members of the Crossroad broadcast. We would like to thank God for Dr. June Normeal. We thank God for Dr. Williams, James Williams, and for Dr. Castor. We thank God for them once again coming forward and allowing the Lord God to use them. We're looking forward to have you on next week as the men and women of God will come back and they will come before you as a professional Christian counselor, counseling you in the name of Jesus. May God bless and keep you is our prayer. This has been Dr. Mary Flip McCoy of the Cross Red Broadcast.